The Queen City Motors talk and text line. I honestly don't understand the logic of phased opening of the economy. Please explain to me. 100% is 100%, no matter if it's fast or slow. I agree with this sentiment, which may not come as a surprise to some people. Phased opening to me is not logical. For example, I know there's an area community and they're doing a so-called phased opening of swimming pools. And like the first 2 weeks, I think 150 or 175 kids are going to be allowed. And then after a few weeks, longer than 300 kids will be allowed at a time. Well, to me, that may the difference between if 175 versus 300 when it comes to everything we've been told about coronavirus, it's irrelevant to me. Here's how I look at it. The whole point is to like make sure nobody gets coronavirus, right? That's the whole point. The idea that having 175 kids in a pool is safe, but 200 isn't. It just doesn't stand up to logic to me that coronavirus understands numbers and is going to be like, oh man, we'd really like to get passed around in that pool. But there's only 175 kids allowed instead of 300. It just doesn't logically make any sense to me. Now, clearly I am in the minority on this because people seem perfectly comfortable with that sort of position. But to me, I understand the text saying I don't understand the phased opening component. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me either. So I just wanted to.
And when the kids are in pools, Nick, don't they like spit on each other and stuff? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, they spit water at each other, and it's like I've always kind of wondered, and I'm sure, and I'm not a health expert, so I'm sure that they have realized that pools are safe, water's safe.
Maybe they have. I don't know,
but I'm thinking. To me, I would allow a bunch of people in a pool as the last thing because kids spit on each other.
Right.
Or adults spit on their too.
And that, I think, is, for me, part of the illogical component to the phasing in. If you think that it is a place that is dangerous, then you would not have anyone there at all.
Right.
Instead of, you know, saying, well, it's like, let's use this as an example. There is a roller coaster, and there is a great chance, there's a very good chance that the roller, let's say this company's built all these roller coasters, same company, and these roller coasters have begun sporadically. The cars fly off during a loop, okay? And so we, not all of them, you know, but some of them. And so in order to make it safer, we're only going to allow every other car to be filled.
Because the odds are a little bit less.
Right.
It's like Russian roulette there. The odds are a little bit less that car will go off.
And we don't do that. We either determine that, okay, this is safe and you're going to continue to ride it, or we shut it down.
Yeah.
And the phased in aspect of some of this to me is like saying, okay, well, we're just going to spread out the people in the cars as they ride it. It just doesn't compute with me.
I get you.
But I'm just a simple kid kicked out of college for not going to class.
I never missed a class.
I believe
some
that.
Some strong disagreement.
I bet you still have notes from your classes.
Somewhere in my parents' house.
I think I do.
Some strong to severe storms will be possible Friday afternoon and evening. Oh, Nick. With all modes of severe weather possible over western Missouri, large hail and damaging wind would be the most likely severe weather elements. However, we cannot rule out a low-end tornado threat, especially west of Springfield. Again, the risk is listed as marginal right now. We'll see if that ends up increasing at all. A man who worked with kids with special needs for the West Plains School District charged in federal court on one count of producing child pornography after authorities say he solicited children to send explicit photos and videos through social media apps. Court documents say Cody Ari posed as a 15-year-old on Instagram and received dozens of images and videos from other users identifying as minors. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast is Don mentioning the weather. It's sort of a potential grab bag. A 20% chance of showers this afternoon. A high of 74. Slight chance of showers, storms tonight, 60. Showers, thunderstorms likely early in the day on Friday with a high near 80. And a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 83. Current temp 59 and cloudy at the KSGF studios. Cattle Baron's Ball, that will, it's still, plans are in place for it to occur August 29th, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. It's the American Cancer Society, their 12th annual Cattle Baron's Ball, brought to you by Prime Inc. You can get tickets for the gala at ksgf.com. A question that is a reasonable question is if social distancing in certain, or not even social distancing, but phased openings doesn't make sense, why is it done? And listen, you take a bar and you say, well, you can be at 50% capacity, but not 100% capacity. Given how easily we're told it's transmitted, and these videos that are put out there that depict somebody sneezing, an entire grocery store is now exposed. Having 50% capacity in that context versus 100 does not protect logically, consistently individuals any more than whether it was 100% or 20%. I suppose an argument in favor of it is, well, then at least less people will get it. But if the whole idea is to save just one life, and given how easily it can spread, based on the idea of preventing people from even being 6 feet within one another, and you got to wear a mask in these certain scenarios, it's just, on one hand, they portray it as it's so easily transmittable that you can't even come within sneezing distance of a person. But then on the other hand, they're like, well, but you can be in a bar as long as it's only 25 or 50%. You know, all of a sudden, that ease of it passing seems to not exist. Now, it is, in my assessment and my constant observation over the years of people who are in government, they don't think the way that most of us think. And part of the reason is because they're not required to have successful outcomes. They may say, well, of course we are, because if we don't, then the people will vote us out. Let's be honest, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. People vote incumbents like 80% of the time. It's just that that's how it is. That's a reality. People who live and work in a private sector, if things don't work, then they fail. Their business goes under. And so they are forced to make decisions that make sense, or they fail. In government, if you fail, in fact, you oftentimes get rewarded. If you have a certain goal and you have this plan and you say this is going to take care of the problem and the problem gets worse, well, you get more money for your department in order to do more of what you're already doing. So that creates conditions in which people who are in government, they do not, their brains don't work the way that our brains do. And I mean that from a totally serious physical description. I'm not trying to be funny, or I'm not just like, well, their brains work differently. I'm telling you, those conditions create different thought patterns. I'm going to play some audio for you here after the break of Clay Goddard, Greene County Health Department. And to me, it's one statement from yesterday when they announced that they were allowing the citizens to have a little more of their freedoms back. And to me, it is a perfect summary of the attitude and mentality of people in Springfield and Greene County that are making these decisions. And then I'm going to have Sarah read a comment that somebody, you know, sent in regarding earlier statements I've made regarding some of these people being elite and so forth that challenges my perspective on it, because I want to explain it a little bit. That in just a couple of moments. I am Nick Reed. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. Springfield easing social distancing guidelines, allowing more people to gather. This is land of the free, home of the brave, 2020. Land of the free, where we're told when and where we can go, what businesses can or can't be open, when we can go to church. Home of the brave, where a significant portion of the population is so frightened so frightened by coronavirus that they wait for the government to tell them exactly what to do, and they snitch on others who don't.
Well, that's where we are.
Press conference yesterday. Springfield Greene County Health Department Director Clay Goddard. And among other things, this is a comment that he made that really, really stood out to me. And I want to play it for you. Here's what he had to say regarding the second phase of reopening.
You had to pull the trigger on this at some point, and why not reward the community on a Saturday before the holiday weekend?
So, well, we had to pull the trigger sometime, so why not reward the people? Now, I've long contended that these people in charge, they really do feel as if they are great saviors. And that by, you know, easing the boot off the throat of citizens, they're doing something, they're rewarding us. Now, to me, a reward is sort of like a bonus. You know, something that was unexpected. You're living life, you do something exceptionally well, and you got, oh my gosh, I didn't expect this, I don't deserve this. A reward is not, you know, partially taking the handcuffs off. To me, it isn't some sort of bonus in life to have the government-mandated restrictions loosened a little bit. I mean, that's like a hostage taker rewarding the hostage by letting them take the blindfold off, you know, or the mouth gag out so that they can, you know, breathe a little easier for 30 minutes. Like, you know, oh, gee, thanks for the reward. How kind of you. It also demonstrates to me what many people have long claimed, that this isn't really so much about saving lives, but it's about controlling people. And I don't believe that it is a conscious, deliberate, you know, how can we control people today? And like, okay, well, here they're behaving in a manner that we find acceptable, so we are going to, quote, reward them by allowing them a little more freedom into the holiday weekend. So I don't think it's necessarily deliberate, but I do believe that whenever people in charge tell people to do something and people push back, then there is this instinctual reaction of bearing down, and it does to some degree become about control. That is reinforced when you have the person in control telling the people, we're doing this to reward you for obeying us. Now, he didn't say for obeying us, but, you know, his comments that we thought it would be a great way to reward the, well, reward the community for what? And I know what the, I think it's fair to say, the unspoken answer to that is for doing what they told people to do, for complying. Well, when you are in a position of power and you are verbally letting people know, hey, this isn't, you know, like, oh, well, we hit this benchmark, and so we promised you that things would ease up when we hit this benchmark, like flattening the curve. Of course, that was supposed to be the end of it, but that, you know, that came and went. But now to say, well, because, you know, well, we are offering you this reward. I mean, frankly, it makes me a little indignant. I want to say, screw you. That's not a reward. Telling businesses that, oh, well, you still can't fully open. A reward? No. But that's the difference in mindset and perspective. And it is a total and complete disconnect from what people in Springfield and Greene County are going through. I haven't had the conversation with a lot of business owners, but I suspect that when a business owner that is desperately trying to keep their livelihood going and you know their profit margins are 6 to 12%. So allowing for 25% capacity does not help save them. 50% capacity does not help save them. But being told, you know, well, I'm doing this to reward you, I suspect that that burns a little bit. Like getting a speeding ticket, and the last thing the officer says is, have a nice day. And you're like, oh, really? Have a nice day? You just gave me a $125 ticket, and my points are going to go, and you're telling me to have a nice day? Screw you. It is a real disconnect. Now, that being said, I'm going to get just the last break in here, and then I want Sarah to read a comment that somebody had sent in, disagreeing with my assessment of the perspective or some of the descriptions that I've used, descriptive terminology I've used to describe some of these individuals that are behaving in this manner. So that next. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. A1 Custom Car Care, fully open, fully operational, taking care of your vehicle maintenance. One of the things that they do that many people specifically cite in their rave reviews is the vehicle, they go back and they come back and they're like, okay, well, here are things that you really definitely should fix. Here's some things that sort of a middle ground. Like, at some point, you're going to want to take care of these, but it's not a have to right now. And here's some things down the road instead of, oh, you just have to fix all of these things, which oftentimes gets done. And not only that, but they, you know, they can't just take anyone and everyone back there to see what's going on for insurance purposes and so forth, but they take pictures and videos if necessary so that you can see exactly what it is they're talking about. They just want you to know that they are doing everything that they can as in such a transparent way possible so you have the best information in order to make the decision. They're not there in order to rip you off at all. They want you to get the most value out of your vehicle as they can possibly help you get. A1 Custom Car Care, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60 Republican West Sunset, across from Classic Rock Coffee. It's A1 Custom Car Care. All right, and I'm going to have Sarah read a comment somebody had, I think, posted regarding some of my characterizations of specifically Springfield Greene County Health Department Director Clay Goddard. I'm not going to ever say the person's name just because, that's irrelevant. But so go ahead and read, if you would, the comment.
Turn me on here.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Am I on?
Yeah.
I have worked for the city of Springfield for 20 years. I know Clay Goddard, and he is a good man, and he is not an elitist at all. He served in the Coast Guard and served in several spots in the city. He is a humble gentleman. Thanks for your show.
All right. So, I don't know Clay Goddard. I don't. Simply because a person has an impressive resume or background and is a quote unquote good person, however that's defined. I mean, it varies from person to person. That doesn't mean that they're always right, and it doesn't mean that they don't have an elite perspective on things. I think it's very clear, and this is my perspective. People see elite as being different. Some people think elite are really rich, hoity-toity people that drink with their pinky in the air. When I think of elitism in the elite class, I'm talking about people who feel it is their position to tell others how to live their lives because they will not choose the correct path, and therefore, because they won't make the right decisions, they will put themselves or others in danger. And so that belief that I know better, and I am not only going to just impart that information upon you, but I don't trust you to make the right decision because I know some of you won't. So I am going to do it for you. That is elite to me. It's an elite perspective. That is an elite personality trait. So you can still be ultimately a good person and think those things, I suppose. I've also learned something in my life that's very, very valuable that is totally counterintuitive for a lot of people. And it's demonstrated oftentimes in an attempt to validate their perspective. And in that comment in particular, the fact that I have known Clay Goddard for 20 years I've known this person for a really long time. Now, the perspective is that means that they are a better judgment of their actions. I have come to learn that oftentimes that makes you the worst person to judge someone's actions. Because we tend to, when we know a person personally, we default to giving them the benefit of the doubt. Instead of judging them on their actions, we judge them on who we think that they are or who we know that they are. And so you can have two different people take the same actions, one of them that you know personally, one you don't. The one you know personally, you'll think, well, you know, what he's doing isn't wrong because I know that he's a good person. That is often a case of complete loss of objectivity. So anytime it comes to a person who knows someone, when it comes to legislation or when it comes to decisions they've been made, and then they say that that is a determining factor in making a judgment as to whether or not their position is right or wrong or elitist or not, that's marred with personal relationships and emotions. And while you may know a person, whether it's a member of Congress or a minister or your neighbor or a family member, you may know them very well, very intimately. You may understand their thinking. That also makes you very susceptible to having an unobjective perspective on who they are in relation to their position and the motivations for the things that they do. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Glenn Beck is coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.